You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yachty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, let's roll. Comedy Live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently here on an awesome Monday. NFL news just flying off the shelf every time you look up. Tweet, something else happening. Tiki and I wanted to get into this here. It's pretty interesting. This caught our eye here. Martellus Bennett, in a series of tweets, basically calls out fans for dehumanizing players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure what inspired this, if there was some interaction he had with...
Clearly it was.
I'm sure.
Something happened on social media, and he took offense to it and felt like he needed to respond.
Mm-hmm. Here's his first tweet here. He says, it's always funny and sad how fans ridicule players after they lose their jobs. I mean, by the way, that's a real misrepresentation of... I mean, there's four guys that are associated with the show every day.
Yeah.
Not one of us. I mean, not that I can speak totally for D-Cell and Mike and their full social media history, but I'm pretty confident 0% of us have ever tweeted anything derogatory, like trying to incite or pick at somebody for losing their job, yeah. A pro athlete.
But I think he shouldn't have said media because I don't think
he didn't. He said fans.
Yeah.
He goes, it's always funny, but I mean, we're fans.
Yeah.
He says that it's always funny and
but we're
sad.
Also media.
Well, I understand that. It's always funny and sad. Well, we're not media. I'm not media.
No.
It's always funny and sad.
This is a medium.
There you go.
Hold on, first of all, we might not be journalists, but we are media. We're media. We're not journalists. We're opinion makers.
Well, you're
but
nothing.
We're media.
You're not media. Why?
Yeah,
you media?
I am.
Why?
Yeah. Whenever I go to an event and I get a media press pass, I'm damn media. All right.
It woke up 2 hours and 4 minutes in.
He has a Twitter account. He's media.
Does. That's true. Everybody has an account now.
True.
And he also he's his own photographer and videographer as well. He's got an iPhone.
That's right. No, he does not. He has a Samsung.
That's right. He does have a Samsung.
iPhone sucks.
But he's got camera.
Stop.
Options. So he goes, it's always funny and sad how fans ridicule players after they lose their jobs, get cut, injured, or traded. You would never do that to another person who loses a job, dehumanizing athletes as if they aren't real with families or struggles like others. Mm. That's a starting point. What's your first reaction to that?
Yeah, my first reaction is he's just being overly sensitive. You play a very public game, which you're rewarded handsomely for. And, yeah, every now and then, trolls will get on your social media pages and, you know, throw fire at you and try to demean you. But that's part of it. That's the social media age. There's anonymity in that, and people feel empowered when they belittle someone else. Mm-hmm. And if they can belittle a football player, at least make them think that they're belittling a football player, then their strength just grows. But to me, Martellus Bennett is just being... it's Martellus, right?
Martellus, yeah. Correct.
Is being just oversensitive to the reality of sport. Because this happens every Sunday, BT, right, during football season. I can't tell you how many derogatory, negative, dehumanizing, you know, insulting, vile things that were been shouted at me during my football career. And it just is what it is. Right? But as soon as you put it on social media and you actually can read it and not ignore it because you're more worried about the behemoth across from you, you get offended? Come on. Pump your brakes on this, Marcellus Bennett.
He says some other things here. Now, interesting, because when you bring up the real stadium example that every athlete invariably goes through, unfortunately, outside of the very literal difference of saying something versus hitting a button and having it go out there, you know, and transmitting digitally forever, is there really a big difference in terms of intent?
No.
Exactly.
No.
There is no difference.
Which is why I downplay it.
Yeah.
Just like I downplay it when guy in Philadelphia is like, Tiki, you fumble your baby too?
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
I said, no, I hold on to that one pretty tightly.
That one's a little important.
It means more than the stupid game you're talking about.
Here's a question I have for you guys. Me and BT were talking about this before the show, right? And I know it sounds really messed up to even say this, but like, all right, as fans, we're consumers.
Yeah.
And when we go to a game, when we're watching games on TV, when we're buying jerseys.
You think you own me, don't you?
Not in like an ownership kind of way, but I look at athletes in a sense, and it's not like a race thing or a black white thing. It's just I look at athletes as a product. I want to watch a product. We talk about this.
By the
product
way,
on the field is good.
Mike, I have to interject for because this will be lost, and by me, I'll certainly let you finish. The fact that you felt compelled to even insert that it's not a black white thing, that is just an illumination of, and I'll not say I'm not taking a shot at you, an illumination of how pathetic the world's become, how PC oriented we are. Nobody would even think that it was a black white thing.
Well, no,
but
I mean, think about what happened with LeBron and Dan Gilbert's letter. Everyone's like, oh, it's a racial thing, slave ownership. To me, it's just it's a guy who owns a team and he looks at players as products. And it's not about black, white, or slavery. It's about as a fan or as an owner of a team, the players are the product, and we're watching a product, right? And I know it's dehumanizing to an extent, but these are multimillionaires who get paid a lot of money to entertain us, and that's why we're watching, for entertainment value. So to an extent, you're a human, you have families, you have children, but you're a product. You're something that I am going to use for entertainment, and if you're not a product, I'm going to stop watching. And then I'm not going to get, and then you're not going to get as much money. The revenue is going to go down. So you have to view yourself as a product. And if you don't, then it's your own fault for being upset when people give you a hard time.
What about when they give you a hard time, Samter, on social media?
Because you're a product too. I don't get paid anything.
But you're a product too.
I suck.
You're
an entertainment product, are you not?
Sure.
It's not TK
and Terry.
Well,
but not as much.
Product? It's the same thing. It's just a matter of how you. Whether or not you take offense to it. Look, I get this. I see this. It's why when I retired, just to make it personal, when I retired early, a lot of people got angry at me, right? Because, how dare you abandon our team? I'm like, what are you talking
That's
about?
That's jealousy.
It's not jealousy.
The inability to do it themselves.
It's lack of empathy. It's look at me. Forget what, you know, the whole. Look at what I'm going through and what's important to me. Mm-hmm. It's not about the team all the time. And so there is that sense of ownership that happens when you become part of a team that masses and millions of people root for. And sometimes when you have that deep of a connection, it gets emotional. Not sometimes, it always gets emotional, right? It's the genesis, it's the basis behind sport. It's why we love it so much. It's just like this connection that happens, and a lot of it is great. Some of it, and unfortunately, because of the social media platforms that exist nowadays, the minority is loud. It's like really loud, mm-hmm. and you hear it much more than the praise. And so I would tell Bennett here, Martellus Bennett, focus on the positive, right? It's ignore the negative. Don't get into your replies or your direct messages or whatever it is. Forget them. I mean, who cares?
I like that he engages people.
I do too, but if you're going to engage, you can't get offended.
Well, I think I don't know if he's truly offended. I think he seems pretty.
He seems measured, but
that's
I can't
the word
tell.
I was looking for.
I can't
he
tell
does.
If he's measured.
No, you can't with
I,
words.
I have no
but
idea.
You can't.
It's just words.
Can't.
It's words on a device.
Listen, the bottom line is anybody, and you know, if you're of the age where you just beginning to plot out a career, you know, whether you're early in college and you're in between majors, or you're just about to announce what your major is, or if you're older and you're going to switch careers, whatever it might be. If it's anything that is in a public field, whether it's theater, whether it's music, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, be an accountant if you don't want to get harpooned with criticism.
Yeah.
If you can, you know, because we can't do anything in anonymity anymore.
No.
It's just the way it is, and you have to deal with it. It's okay.
Regardless of what you do.
Listen, we would all. I have some people who do, and again, I always say what I do because I wasn't a player.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Teak and I are a partnership, 50-50, but he played, and I came up a different route.
Different perspective.
No
on
doubt.
The same stuff.
Same stuff. Different ending point. Very mm-hmm. different roads to get there, okay? And I have no – and a lot of people who came up through like journalism major like I did and, you know, kind of, you know, bouncing around and, you know, being poor and working at five or six different stations.
Dude, it's a
and
hard
whatever.
Hustle. It's a hard hustle.
It's
bro.
A hustle, and I loved it. But during the hustle, a lot of people – for whatever reason, if they ever hit it big, they feel compelled to say, oh, I don't care about the haters. I have no problem saying I prefer to be liked. I prefer to be liked.
Of course you did.
Now, it doesn't change my world if you really come at me, you know, and I've gotten this because I'm an opinionated person. And when you don't straddle the fence and you got some stones and you're going to let people know where you stand, some people are going to love you, some people are going to hate you.
You're right.
That's okay. But the bottom line, the core principle, the common denominator with all these this maelstrom of hate on social media, I think there's two things. Number one, jealousy.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about everybody now. Back more so to Bennett.
Uh-huh.
Jealousy and a lack of education. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Because if you are compelled to tweet, and he uses the example, this is Martell's Bennett writing this. He goes, ha, 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 you don't have a job. LOL, I hope you never get a job again or play again. LMFAO. And then he writes, it's just funny writing that out. So he's writing out what he's like feigning what somebody else would write, and then he's saying that it's funny writing that out. And again, I'm sorry, not to cast aspersions on anybody's level of intellect, but if you write that and you're an adult and you're beyond the age of 13 or 14,
it's ignorant.
You're a stupid person.
It's ignorant.
You don't
right.
have much going for you.
I completely
You're not smart.
Agree. It's hard to dispute that. BC.
You're not smart.
Because what point is
And you're
that?
Not happy.
There is no point to that message at all. There's no point.
Try to bring somebody else down to amp up your happiness.
That
is a twisted way to go through life.
I agree. And feel sorry for people like that.
I do too. What else did he tweet here? You know what? He brought up the word empathy, as Tiki brought up before. Not saying an athlete wants your sympathy. Mm-hmm. As sympathy, so many people confuse these two words. It's amazing. As sympathy is easy. We can all sympathize. The real emotion that the world seems to be missing.
No athlete's going to be felt sorry for after making millions of dollars playing 10-year, a decade, or whatever.
No, I hear you. But he's on to something here, bigger picture. We can all sympathize. The real emotion the world needs is more empathy. There's mm-hmm. a huge difference.
Yeah.
He's right.
You're right.
It's very hard for us to put ourselves in somebody else's mind mm-hmm. and to experience their emotions.
Yeah.
That's empathy.
It's almost impossible.
It's hard to do.
It's almost impossible, especially
yes.
if you don't know that person.
Yes.
So you can't relate to your own experience, and you certainly can't, because you don't know him, you can't hear his experience directly from him. Now, you could try to by following him on, you know, whatever platforms that he's, you know, speaking on and telling his story, but it's hard. It really is. And he's got a good point, but it's not going to change how, as we like to say, the haters are going to attack you. So at the end of the day, ignore them.
Yeah.
Ignore them.
That's the best way to do it.
Be an ostrich is the best way to think about it. If you are in social media in any way, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're an athlete or not, but especially if you're an athlete, be an ostrich. Put your head in the sand. If you don't read it, it's not there.
Yeah, but sometimes to do your job, you have to read it.
Why does Marcellus Bennett or Martellus?
Well, I'm talking about more us. I'm talking
well,
about
us.
More people
yeah,
who
sure.
you know, like who do this
yeah, but
every
why
day.
Does, and... Why does a senior at whatever high school in Dubuque, Iowa, why does he have to read someone's comments on something that he tweeted? You mm-hmm. know, he doesn't.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Doesn't. Unfortunately, it's ingrained in that age in that world
but
now.
Most,
so it's
my,
almost
my
like
point
they
is,
have to.
Most people don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to do it to survive.
No,
but you're compelled to do it because it's a part of your world.
Yeah,
which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Actually, I hear you, man. Yeah, I we're gonna get a break here. I've always thought, and I don't know if we'll ever get to this point. I can't possibly come up with the regulations and laws that need to be passed. I'm not smart enough to come up with that. But I have said before, I would love to see, like, if you physically threaten somebody with violence, either
on
by entering their home.
Yes. Agreed.
Yes.
I 100% agree.
I'd love to see some real tangible repercussions.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would slow things down a little bit.
Arrest people.
Yeah.
For threatening violence.
At the very least, ban their existence forever. Like, if you abuse one platform,
mm-hmm.
then you lose access to every social media platform.
Yeah.
And there's varying degrees of abuse.
Yeah. Silence them.
Yeah. You know, and if it's very egregious, then there might be a little criminal, you know, act that you may have just committed there. You think we ever get there?
Yeah,
I think
do.
We do, too.
I do. You're already starting to see it. You're already starting to see platforms like Facebook and Twitter less so because they pride themselves on being, you know, this open ecosphere where anything goes. But we've already seen the dangers of that, we know, with terrorists and everything else using the platform. But Facebook has actually started to clamp down on those things.
Yeah.
People's accounts are disappearing. You're, you know, changing, you know, the appearance of some of these threatening profiles that are on the platform. They get rid of them. And it's smart. You hate to say you want to live in a police state and you don't want social media to become a police state, but in some regards, it kind of needs to be.
And I don't see why people would object to that, because if I'm driving down the street and I'm going 93 miles an hour to 40, that's illegal.
And you're being reckless to others around you?
Yeah.
I agreed.
Now, one could result, God forbid, in real harm
mm-hmm.
if you strike somebody. and the other is less quantifiable. Yeah. But if you tweet the wrong thing to an impressionable kid,
right.
I mean, this is really kind of stretching it three and four rows down the aisle here. But
no, but this happens.
I know eating habits and, you know, young girls and, you know, bullying. And it's just a million things that could go awry.
You read a story every 5 or 6 months about that.
No doubt. Probably more at this point, you're unfortunately, right. Teague. All right, good discussion. That was unique. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you want to tweet us, get us a Tiki and Tierney and Wayne to react to that. We got another full segment. How about we get some more calls on all the free agent stuff? Also incorporate a little NCAA talk. Obviously, the games begin tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in Bonaventure or UCLA, then you got a little something. No disrespect to Radford or LIU. I mean, one of those teams will move on, but let's be real. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, during the break, my guy didn't exactly get news that bolsters the confidence for his team to cut down the nets in San Antonio in a couple of weeks. Bad news for Virginia.
Yeah, it is. DeAndre Hunter, sixth man of the year in the ACC. Bench player, but obviously a really good one for the Cavaliers, is out for the NCAA tournament with a broken left wrist. It obviously happened in the ACC tournament. The prognosis is it'll have surgery March 19th, I believe. And his season is done. It's just such a shame because Tony Bennett, for those who don't know or how he plays, he keeps his bench short. It's usually 8-man rotation he goes through. DeAndre Hunter, Mamdi Diakite is another one that comes off the bench, and Nigel Johnson as well. That's really their rotation. Again, obviously with the starters, those are the three guys that come off the bench. And now they're kind of stuck because there's not an alternative. DeAndre Hunter he's unique in that he's big. He's 6'7". He's a guard, though, one of the most versatile four-star recruit out of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia area. So he was versatile. You could play him down low at times if you needed to, put him on some of the smaller forwards that he could guard, or he could provide that length out front, which is important for Virginia when they switch or when they help.
Syracuse always has with his own.
You're right. They don't always switch. Virginia doesn't always switch, right? It's not like when they get a pick and roll, they switch. But the help that's provided by the guy that's trying to get switched on is amazing. They get really long, spread themselves out, force you not to be able to get into the lane. The defender, the on-ball defender, recovers, and then he sinks back into that to that pack line. So
Coach Wooden over here. Without him, guy.
No, I just watched him a lot. You know, they're short right now.
You worried?
I am, because now these guys are going to have to play a lot of minutes, BT, a whole lot of minutes. Now, I love them, but they got to play a whole lot of minutes.
And usually, and I certainly don't want this to happen to you guys, but usually the refs are a little more earnest in the whistle department in the NCAA.
You get
a couple of aggressive fouls that compromise the road to early. Further compromises the rotation.
Well, it's always been a problem for Virginia, too, by the way. In the ACC semifinal game on Friday, which I was at, the only reason Clemson was in the game is because they scored 20 points or so, maybe a little bit less than 20, but almost 20 points in free throws, right? So they were able to catch back up. I mean, it should have been a blowout, but Virginia got careless with the fouls, and it kept it a close game. So you're right. That is something to watch, especially if Virginia gets to the Sweet 16 against a team like Arizona and DeAndre Ayton, who's a monster. They're going to have to basically waste fouls on this kid. I don't know if they have enough bodies to do it. So, disheartening is the best thing to say. He's sixth man of the year in the ACC. It's a big deal.
That's a problem. I'm looking at my South region here. I have you guys winning, obviously beating UMBC.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Creighton beating Kansas State. 8-9 matchup. Flip. I've seen Creighton a lot, so I'll go with the team I know a little bit more. Doesn't mean it's right, but I'll go with Creighton here. They could shoot. I like their guards. I like their coach as well, so I'll go Creighton. I almost thought about Creighton taking you guys out.
Mm.
Not because I want to see you lose, but Creighton's pretty good.
They have good guards.
They could score.
Yeah, but they do. But how score. Their guards score. Yeah, it's important to look at how their guards score. What gives the type of player that gives Virginia a problem are the Luke Mays of the world. 6'7", 6'6", 6'7", stretch type forward, maybe even, you know, bigger shooting guards who get put on a guy like Nigel Johnson, who's a backup guard. He gets matched up with him. He shoots over him, you know, all day long. So the help doesn't even matter. I don't know if Creighton's guards can score that way. and because they're not getting in the lane. If their game, they're 20 points a game or 25 points a game, whichever one, either one of those are averaging, if it's predicated on getting in the lane, they're not scoring 30 points.
So. I'll tell you this tonight, you know, with UCLA, so we got the two matchups tonight, the Radford LIU, 216 seeds, and then we've got UCLA St. Bonaventure, 211 seeds in that matchup there. In the first four, listen, I've got UCLA. I'm looking at my bracket now. I've got UCLA winning tonight. I've got them beating Florida in the 11-6 matchup. Then I've got them beating Texas Tech. And I've got them beating Purdue. If St. Bonaventure wins tonight, I'm out. I'm out. I mean, I'm basically out.
Yeah. You put a lot of...
I got them winning four times.
A lot of faith in UCLA,
Sweet
man.
Sweet 16. Actually, I got them Elite Eight. And then I got them losing to Villanova. And I almost thought about having them beat Villanova. I think Villanova's a little vulnerable this year. I've said that before.
Well, we've seen it. You know, we've
play
seen
defense
it.
The way they used to for Jay Wright.
It's just it's a different squad than the one that won the championship a couple of years ago. But they are still very good, obviously,
no question.
And deserving of a number one seed.
Oh, yeah.
But I said the same thing, BT. I could see them, Virginia Tech, whoever they come up against in that whatever.
It would be the winner of Vatek Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama's tough too.
That's what I'm
saying. Tough game.
That whoever they have to face in the second round, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost. I don't expect them to, and I didn't pick them to, but I wouldn't be surprised.
See, that's a good way to analyze any bracket. Like every year you try to come up with unique things that unique trends. And to me, like which of the number one seeds are most adversely affected by a sloppy, in terms of how we view the job the committee did, 8-9 seeding. And, like, to me, Virginia Tech and Alabama, I think they could both beat. I don't think they will beat Nova.
Agree.
But they could.
Virginia Tech gives everybody they play tight games.
They're good.
I'm telling you.
And they're just growing into who they are now, right. So they're ascending.
Buzz.
Seton Hall, I don't think they score enough. I don't love Seton Hall. I'm sorry. They've got a good rebounder in Delgado. Carrington can make some shots. Desi Rodriguez isn't healthy. I don't think Willard's an elite coach. I think Kansas has a pretty – if Seton Hall even beats NC State, and I picked NC State in the 8-9 matchup there, so that's not a terrible draw for that one seed.
Kansas has got the best draw. The Midwest is the toughest region, but Kansas has got the good draw because they don't meet the scary teams, I'll put that in quote, the scary teams.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Michigan State or Oklahoma,
I would agree.
To be honest with you. They don't meet them until they get to the Elite Eight.
I would agree with that.
And so the danger is not until late for them. Whereas for Virginia.
Arizona late or Kentucky late.
The danger
late in the
is early for Virginia.
Yeah, it is.
Now, I think they can beat Cincinnati if they should get to Cincinnati in the Elite Eight. I think even if they go to the Final Four, they have to play North Carolina again or Xavier.
North Kakalaka.
I think that they can beat them again. It's early for some one seeds, it's late. For other one seeds, the danger of getting to getting to San Antonio, where we'll be in a few weeks.
We'll be there in a couple of weeks. We're heading out the whole shop. We couldn't get D-Cell on this trip. We'll try to get him on the next one.
Next one, D-Cell. He keeps saying that.
Yeah, you say that a lot.
Hey, at least I say it. If it was up to Tiki, it would never be said. At least, like, my heart's in the right place. He didn't even bring you up. The only other one seed before we get Axe update here would be Xavier. And I'm telling you, I would be very worried about that Mizzou matchup if they get by Florida State.
Love Mizzou.
I like them.
I got to see Porter Jr.
ever
again.
Since November.
I got to see him again because, I mean, they lost the Georgia team they shouldn't have lost to.
I understand
they
that.
Fired their coach 2 days later, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
But he hadn't played all season.
No.
Porter. He took like 15 shots, maybe more than that.
He was about 4 for 15. He hit that big three.
Yeah, he did.
The big three.
But, I mean, talking about earlier in the game.
No, I got you.
He took a lot of shots. I remember seeing the box score. Like,
get him up now.
Yeah.
Get rid of the rest quick.
So that's my point. Not really a throwaway game, but let's call it that because they weren't winning the SEC title. Get this kid some burn. Get him back acclimated. Let's see how you do in the NCAA tournament.
Well,
first round's going to mean a lot to them.
Oh, God,
Florida State's not an easy test either.
No, it's not. Part of the reason why I feel good about them is I'm not basing my projection solely on Porter coming back and being a star. Again, I was impressed with them in person without Porter when I saw them in November in Orlando at the AdvoCare.
With his brother.
Well, his brother, they got some shooters. Quanzo Martin is a great defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough team. What do you think, Ak? Can you see Mizzou doing some damage?
No.
You've done some. You can't.
No, I don't think so.
Do you want to back that up, or do you want to just be a contrarian?
No, I just I think that it's too late for Michael Porter.
Why?
Because he's barely played all year.
So what?
And he's not 100%.
How do you know? You doctor?
He said. All right, well. He said he's about 60-70%.
He's playing possum. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. We got a great blast coming up after Axe Update. Here is Rich coming at you right now. Hey, March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV on the go with March Madness Live. Or listen on Westwood One. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. A couple of games tonight, obviously full throttle Thursday and Friday. And then it's Sweet 16 weekend. Before you know it, as Tiki said, previous segment, we'll be out in San Antonio packing up our Tiki and Tierney caravan, which we don't actually own, and heading out there and having a little bit of fun.
Just a little tote bag on an airplane.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround, but terrible timing with Easter and Passover. For the Final Four weekend?
I know. It was like that a couple years ago.
It happens.
It was tough. We took Brooklyn out, I remember. It was tough, man.
Not a fan of that.
She was less than one at that time.
I remember that it's funny you say that because one of your early Instagram pictures is me holding her.
Yeah.
Was that in Arizona?
Yes.
It was, because
yes.
That's where Mike and I went to the casino.
Yep.
And I remember you wrote, I'm going to be a good dad, or I was getting ready. You know, Colton was obviously still a couple of months away at that point. We had just announced we were pregnant, but wow, that time's flying. She was just a little
dude,
sprout.
Hey, she's four now.
Oh my god,
four going on 12.
Yeah, right. You ready to blast here?
Yeah, let's blast.
Okay, let's go. All right, TK, here we go. Buddy, rapid fire is the way we do this in case you guys don't know. First up, which NFL team improved the most from free agency so far? Go.
Yeah, we had this. I'm going to say free agency. God, I wanted to say trades as well. Free agency, you got to say Minnesota. It's Kirk Cousins going there. He fulfills them.
Yeah.
So he fills them out nicely.
You complete me?
You complete me.
Well, you got to say
that. You had me at hello.
Doesn't mean I got to say that because I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say the Browns here, man. The Browns.
Yeah, but they haven't.
Listen,
are they winning eight games
they won,
right now?
Well, how many did they win last year?
Yes. Yeah, they're going to have an exponential increase.
They're
going to
be competitive. They're moving in the. No, they'll be better than that. They got a quarterback at least who's functional.
True.
So when they draft the quarterback,
I do like Tyrod Taylor.
The quarterback room is already better placed because Tyrod Taylor's a pro.
Yep.
And you got Landry. And I know that that's via trade, so maybe I'm not answering the question the way Mike meant it for me, but that's tough. Browns got better. I like the Browns. I'm all in on the Browns. You know that.
I know you are.
I'm all in.
You've made your grand proclamation already.
Mm-hmm. Kyrie has a knee issue here. Team says it's tendonitis. Should they be concerned? Well, remember he hurt his kneecap, so there's a little concern there. There's some lower extremity issues along the way, and the way he hurt it was a little alarming. He was by the bench. He was kind of retreating away from the play, and it didn't seem to be a real violent torque. I'm not going to say that I'd be terrified, but, yeah, I'd be a little alarmed at this point, a little bit.
It's just odd when something looks as bad as that looked, and it's positioned as tendonitis. I mean, tendonitis causes pain. And it's really just like a stress on a joint, too much stress. Concern, yeah. But are we now writing them off? No chance. Kyrie is a gamer.
One thing you got to worry about, you know, from his point of view, he's a free agent in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's destined to be Brandon Roy. I'm certainly not suggesting that. But you never know.
Yeah.
A lot of players have had their careers, whether it's McGrady, whether it's Penny Hardaway. A lot of great careers have been. I hope that's not the case. You never know. All right, T, this could be an interesting one. Gino Auriemma. All right, he doesn't want to coach the men. We know that Kevin Ollie was fired at UConn.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to see him make the jump?
No, I don't want to see him make the jump. I think he is a master at what he's been doing for the entirety of his career as a coach.
Come on, and such a boring answer.
It is, but if you're great at what you do, why do something else? You know, it's like,
I don't know, to be greater.
Do you want to see Coach K coach in the NBA?
Yeah,
yes. Cool, but why?
Yeah, I would have liked that
but
chance.
But why? I mean,
see if he could do it, because Calipari couldn't do it, you know? Yeah. Izzo almost did it with the Cavs back then.
Not very many of them do.
No, I
Brad
hear you.
Stevens might be the only one, right?
Pitino did it with the Knicks for a minute after Providence. Then he went back to Celtics. Well, highly successful is very few.
Yeah.
Larry Brown is one, for sure.
That's a good point.
As is Brad Stevens. But The reason I'd want to see it, I there's just general intrigue. I mean, yeah. I know he's John Wooden of the women.
Intrigue by
along with Pat
by
Summitt,
whom?
May she rest in peace.
By whom? Like who wants to? Like who wants?
Let me ask you. Let's be totally honest. Yeah. How many UConn women's basketball games have you watched from start to finish?
Start to finish.
The answer's none.
None.
All right, me
but
too.
I've watched a lot of them. Okay. Intermittently. The problem is they start blowing teams out. You're like, all right, I'm not willing to watch this anymore.
If Gino Auriemma coached against Steve Alford, would you watch the game?
Yeah.
So would I. Here's your answer. Intrigued.
Maybe not start to finish.
All right, Louisville. They're good answer. Players voted against the NIT. The team was overruled here. Who should have the final say? There's a couple of ways I see this. First of all, I think every situation is unique, clearly. If it's really a veteran team and they don't want to do it, I think you should respect the vote. I also think that there's a financial circumstance at play here. If they win and they get to New York and they get to the Final Four of the NIT, they can recover some money that they lost here.
Yeah.
So I don't like giving them a vote and then dismantling the vote.
Yeah.
But I'd like to give the players more say, yeah, I guess is my answer.
I just don't understand why, if you're a player, you don't want to play. I know it's somewhat of a protest because you felt like, because what Rick Pitino did in the FBI probe, mm-hmm, and everything else that's plagued that university basketball team for the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, you feel like you were excluded from the NCAA tournament because of those and nothing that happened on the court. But still, if you're a baller, don't you want to ball? I don't care where. I know it's the NIT, but don't you want to go, like, dominate that?
I would. We'll get back to that. I would want to play as much as I can. You got to rip the jersey off me.
I agree.
I hear you. Aaron Judge, not eligible for arbitration. So you talk about, you know, like at Russell Wilson making peanuts as a middle-round, mm-hmm, pick. I mean, this guy's your master.
Yeah,
I mean,
right,
he's making $600,000 this year. Should the Yankees step up and give him the deal now or give him a deal now?
Yeah, but it's not going to be the deal he wants. And the Yankees are notorious, man. And, look, we saw this with Dellin Betances. It was actually the right call on their part, mm, to push that heavily into arbitration, which obviously they won.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
created we'll some resentment, though.
It did.
Some animosity. Betances was not happy, nor did he pitch well last year.
Nor his teammates. And,
yeah, true.
And it showed,
yep,
in his performance. Could a similar situation arise? Yeah. And so if I'm the Yankees, I do. If he starts the same way that he finished last year, you have to.
You got to throw him a bone here, but yeah, you can't be reckless. You don't do it now. You make sure that this is kind of what he is.
Yes.
I mean, because he's not going to be Kevin Moss. I brought up that name yesterday. He's different, but he strikes out over 200 times a year. I mean, if he regresses hard, mm-hmm, and any player could, it would be foolish not to play by the rules that are drawn up in terms of controllability. I get it. You know, by the way, like certain teams like Georgia, their players voted not to play in the NIT as, mm-hmm, protest for the firing of Fox. I get that. That's a little different.
Well, it's different because
that's a little different.
Like you lose your coach. So now you're not going to even have your coach to go play with. You know, lead you into that. So it's different with Georgia than it is with Louisville. Louisville feels more like they are subtly protesting the fact that they didn't make it into the NCAA tournament.
I can't believe you wouldn't want to see Gino Auriemma go through a whole season. I would love to see him because how do I say this? I don't know that I'm even right with this, but I sense, you tell me if I'm out of bounds here. I don't think I am. The women's game, the coverage is so less mainstream and intense,
yeah,
that he can kind of say whatever he wants.
What do you mean?
And kind of get away with it.
You
not
mean,
that he says anything bad.
You mean to his players?
No. To the media, like messages he conveys, how he comports himself at press conferences.
Yeah, he's generally pretty good, though.
No, I know he is, but I think that he kind of writes his own rules because he's the man. Sure. I mean, it's his sport. He owns it. His team owns it. If he's coaching against an Alford, you know, some of the Roy Williams, a Coach K, a Jay Wright at Villanova. I'd like to see how he handles himself.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see that.
Well, here's,
and I mean, think it would probably be fine, look, but I'd like to see it.
Well, the reason that people, I think, pine for this to happen is because you want to know, is he that good of a coach? Right? We ask, who did the book? Who was just in here? Seth Davis.
The book? Oh, Seth.
Seth Davis. We asked Seth Davis, is he that good of a coach? And the answer is yes. And it's also, is he that good of a recruiter? Now, obviously, when he got to Connecticut, they weren't good. They weren't elite. It wasn't like he stepped into a program and just kept ushering the existing, you know, path forward. He had to change the culture. And so is he a great coach? Absolutely.
100%. Not disputing
absolutely
that one
great
bit.
Coach.
Great
and,
coach.
And then he became a great recruiter because he was a great coach. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the other way around, right? You're a great recruiter. You yeah. get all this fantastic talent, uh-huh. and you're like, hey, dude, throw the ball on the court. You know, not really, not literally, but throw the ball
but
on the court.
But a lot of people underachieve
yes.
with great players.
Yes.
No doubt about
right.
it.
And so
no doubt.
The fact that he started with being a great coach mm-hmm. and then parlayed that into being a great recruiter. So, like, every top women's high school basketball player, their dream is to go to Kentucky or go to UConn. And so it almost is easy for him. If he were to leave, he'd have to start that all over
again.
But
that's why I want to say right? it.
But
it's interesting.
Thing. His philosophy of how he coaches the women, mm-hmm. it would have to change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know it's you don't want to, you know, say it's easier to coach men or it's easier to coach women, but just very different in getting to the minds of young men than it is getting to the minds, often more mature minds
of young
women.
Totally agree.
And so,
but the point about, you know, which came first, the great coach and the recruits or the recruits and the great coach? It's a fascinating question, and yeah. you're right the way you characterize it. His great coaching led it to become a destination.
Yeah.
And have you ever been up to Stores? Probably
no,
not,
no,
right?
No, I have not.
I haven't been there in a while. We went there at St. John's years ago when they were still in the Big East. It's been a while, but it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's really in the middle of nowhere. And to turn that into a destination is incredible in itself because
yeah.
football hasn't been able to do that, and really Calhoun was, but once he left and they left the Big East, Kevin yeah. Ollie couldn't sustain that.
And it's not like with the women's game, you're saying, come here, you're going to be great, we're going to win a championship, oh, and you're going to go to the NBA and make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
like, you'll go play in the WNBA, but you're going to maximize your college potential as a team.
But that's why I think it's a lot easier. Once you get the ball rolling at a women's program, because nobody's leaving after a year to go to the WNBA, the ability to sustain what you build,
point.
It's really, as long as you don't,
yeah,
as long as you're not corrupt.
Yeah, where are you going?
Where are you going?
Yeah.
Now, with Coach Summit, with Tennessee, and I don't know who the great, I know Skylar Diggins was at Notre Dame about 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, and they were really good.
Yeah, Dawn Staley's turning into a great coach down in South Carolina. She won the NCAA tournament last season.
Okay.
Right.
Should
be
go.
The,
good pull.
Yeah, should have been the number. Only because she's a UVA girl.
Hey.
she's an icon in women's college basketball. And now, obviously, as a coach as well. So, yeah, there's only a handful that you can grab from the top of your mind that are elite. Whereas the men, there's a ton that you can grab.
Sure. Just because, yeah, I mean, the reason is obvious. We watch them all the time.
Yeah, we champion it more.
Sure. Yeah. So two more signings came in. One affects Tinky's team.
Yeah.
First of all, Malcolm Butler to the Titans. I kind of like that.
I do, too.
I like that.
That works.
And a little bit of an addition in the backfield for Tiki's big blue Giants, Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
And I kind of I don't love it, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I mean, Jonathan Stewart, I'm trying to think. Jonathan Stewart's 29.
He's not old, but he feels older.
Yeah, it feels like he's got a lot of wear
yeah.
on him. How old is he, Samter? Do you know?
He turns 31 next week.
Oh, so he's 30.
He's 31 next year. Season age, 31.
Yeah.
I'm seeing next season he'll be
yeah.
31 because he'll be 31 next week.
Yeah, that's how they do things nowadays.
You know what
season
I mean?
Season age.
That hasn't changed.
His 30 season.
His
he had 1,000 yards his second year in the league, and since then he hasn't
none.
Reached that
but
plateau.
He's always shared. He's always been a sharer.
Yep. He's always been close. 700, 800, 989, 820.
He's not very durable. He hasn't played 16 games since
no.
the age of 24.
Yeah, that's the thing that worries me more. And look, he's a free agent, an older free agent running back. What does this mean? That if he pans out and he plays great and he stays healthy, he'll
yep.
be in their plans for 2018.
Yeah.
If not, he'll be gone by training camp.
Boy, it's amazing, though. He had 20 touchdowns in his first 2 years on the ground.
Yeah.
Since he had 4, 6, 7, 10, 16, 25, 31 since.
Yeah.
31 since, 20 in his first 2 years.
Yeah, it's still a lot, though. I mean, 51.
Well, but it's not
TD.
A lot if you extrapolate.
Well, but I mean, BT, let's not forget, he's sharing carries. He's always had to share carries.
I hear you.
So it's a little bit different than, you know, a guy who's been the bell cow and getting 300 touches and his production just falls off.
Scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to say Tiki gives it about a 7. 6.5, 7. You're okay with it.
Yeah.
Not going to overly
six
excite you, but you're okay with it.
6.5.
6.5.
Yeah. I like him. I just don't know how valuable he's going to be.
Six and a half isn't exactly a compliment. Let's face it.
It is what it is.
If your buddy said, yeah, I was at the bar last night, I brought home a 6.5. Is that great, or that's not good?
What's the running back room been like for the Giants for the last 5 years?
About a 3.
Thank you.
Let's go, UCLA. I got you winning a bunch. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Tiki and Tierney.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.